Are your kitchen and bathroom remodels a little overdue? Well, now's your chance to call First Response Contracting. John Sellers will take care of you. 484-256-7136. They do residential and commercial, and they're licensed and insured. Give them a call at 484-256-7136. Hello there. This is Brad Wiseman. You're listening to Real Estate and You. Today, I have a repeat guest an original guest, or just a repeat guest, I guess is good. Repeat guest Pete Heim is here from Pete's Point of View. We got a lot of good information, got a lot of statistics here, got a lot of stuff that I think is going to be interesting for you to listen to. So without any kind of delay here, let's get right into what we're going to talk about. Hey, Pete, how you doing?
Hey, Brad. How you doing, brother?
So you're back again, which is great, because I want to talk more about some of the things that you're seeing and go through that and have some discussions on that. Now, why don't we just dive right into what you had said? It was a lot of statistics, but I think it's really good stuff because there's still some fear-mongering out there that we are going to be going into this ugly, you know, housing bubble thing that's going to happen. And I think we've talked about this a gazillion times.
Yeah, we have.
I just like being able to come back and actually have facts and numbers to show that we feel that we're okay. We have a market here that can handle what's going on.
So let's
dive into that. What did you had some statistics there, and I just want to know what you have.
Well, on the good side though, and you and I were talking about the active listings being up a little bit. I mean, they're up.
Well, they're, you know, right now, they're, 465 is what I got. Right. You got 463 this afternoon.
Because you did it just now.
Yeah, I just did it now.
I did it this morning.
So 465 homes. That is not the lowest that we've seen. We've seen in the threes. That's a whole county. So that's
right
good.
Way.
It's going the right way. Mm-hmm. It's exactly right. I just hope it can kind of keep going in that direction, you know?
And some of that is people were talking about, well, they're not building homes. They're not building homes anymore. I looked on KCM, and you know what? Since 2008, this has been a lag of new construction since then. This is not because of COVID. This is
Absolutely not.
This has been a lagging of new construction since 2008. I mean, 2008 destroyed some of those guys.
Yep.
So, I mean, the peak is, it's starting to come back up though to average levels again.
It takes a long time to recover from that kind of
it
kind
does.
Of thing. Yeah.
So as that starts to come about, we're going to start seeing more actives. But anyway, we were talking, you and I, beforehand about the end of this forbearance period. Start a wave of foreclosures.
Yeah.
And, you know,
when you say forbearance, let's explain that. Basically, the government has said to the banks, you need to give these, you need to give mortgage or homeowners that have a mortgage, give them some time and not foreclose right away.
Right. These aren't workouts.
Right. These are, this is just, they're letting them go for now, right?
Right. They're just letting them go for now.
Okay.
Right. That's what that
means. So they're behind?
They're behind probably. Yeah.
Probably. Okay.
Or they're picking back up where they left off from before.
Gotcha.
Something like that.
Okay.
Just want to
explain
on the bank. But thank you for saying that. But anyway, there are fewer there's four reasons why this will not be a wave.
Yeah.
And I have some numbers to back it. The first one is there are fewer homeowners this time in trouble.
Okay.
There were 9.3 million homeowners in 2008 that just either foreclosed, short-sailed, or just threw the keys on the counter and said, here you go.
That's amazing.
All right?
9.3 million
mortgages. Okay.
Crazy.
So pandemic comes along. 8.5% of mortgages went into forbearance.
Okay, got it.
8.5% of all mortgages out there.
Went into forbearance.
Again, that's a small number.
That is a small number.
When you're talking national. We are down to, right now, well, actually 30% was predicted on that, by the way.
30% was what they thought was going to be in forbearance?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
And that
would have been ugly.
That
could have been
ugly.
Yeah.
That could have been uglier, obviously. But yeah, you're right. That would have been a lot worse, obviously.
Yeah.
But to give you numbers on that, we're down to 3.5% of that now.
That's great.
And so what that number equals for you guys to know is 1.863 million. So 1,863,000 mortgages. That is not 9.3 million.
No, that is far away.
So let's work on that 1.86 number.
Yep.
If you take, now this is the second reason. Out of those 1.86 mil, 87% of them have enough equity to sell and be clean.
See, and that's the big thing right there. Because back in 2008, what was happening is there are people that got the mortgages that they that were in trouble had gotten them at 100% financing, 110% financing.
Yeah.
Florida, they were doing 110, 115%.
Flat nuts.
The problem is as soon as you lose 10 hours of overtime, you're done.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden you can't afford it and you're not selling it. You're walking away. You're basically right. saying, I'm out, man. Exactly. I'm done. Whereas now the people that are, that might have a little bit of a financial trouble, there's a couple things. They've got some money coming in from the government to right. help them.
Sure.
And the other thing is that there's equity there. So they could sell their house and walk away with some cash, go live with parents or whoever.
Absolutely. That would yeah. be the perfect thing. But back then in 2008, I mean, people were using their houses as ATMs. That's like you guys going into the ATM and constantly withdrawing money way over what your balance is.
Yep.
And having those fees accumulate, like mm-hmm. that the bank charges you, right? That's the same thing as what happened back in 2008.
It's amazing.
Right? So we don't have that right now.
No.
Okay? So we're working with that number. So if, let's say the other 13% mm-hmm. who aren't equity rich right now decide to just go ahead and they're just going to foreclose.
Yep.
Okay? That equals, are you guys ready? 241,800 mortgages in the nation.
Say that number again.
241,800.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right? So to give you some perspective on that, in 2017, there were 314,000 mortgages that went into foreclosure.
And that was a good year.
That was a good year.
Yeah, good year.
In 2018, there were 279.
Still pre-COVID.
Yep. In 2019, still pre-COVID, 277.
So things were climbing. We're still climbing out yeah. of this. It's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, so it's ridiculous. It's yeah. really not that bad.
No.
And we can, number three, we can absorb it.
We can totally absorb it.
We can take it. In fact,
if those 280,000.
Just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, we don't want to say that. Don't
We've got
go.
Buyers for you.
This is when we knock on your door and say, hey, I see you're a little in trouble. I have somebody in the car that would love to buy your house. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and that's so true. I mean, think yeah. about it. If you spread that 200 and some thousand out over the whole country, it's not a lot, but yeah. we want them to stay in their homes. We don't want to get inventory right. that way.
No, we don't.
It's not good because that means people are having some bad times.
That's right. But yeah. plus four, the people who are in power don't want this to happen.
Absolutely.
It's a bad mark.
Yeah.
So they're asking the banks to give a workout
yeah.
to the people who.
And know, I think that you're going to see most people work it out. I think most people are going to work it out because you have the equity there. You have the means to do it. I think. And the other thing too, is you look at some of these numbers, we have some of the best savings we've ever had as a country.
Yeah.
You know, we have some of the best savings. We have the most equity we've had.
Mm-hmm.
And we know because of the deals we get, people are coming in with cash from everywhere. Like, where did it come from?
I know.
Like, seriously, it's the funniest thing. So I think we're in good shape. And I love that we're making this point. I love the fact that we can justify it. You've done the numbers, which is great. No, it doesn't. No, it's exactly right.
Yeah.
So I think that's great. So good stuff, good numbers. Yep. Let's talk about interest rates. You did say that you saw some predictions on interest rates. These are predictions, guys, so we never know. Something could change overnight, and all of a sudden the rates either drop or they go up higher than what we thought.
It's a prediction.
It's a prediction. That's right.
But let me give you three.
Go ahead.
And this is what buyers need to know right now.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about what they need to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Prices up this year. Prediction. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Average prediction from 5 very credible sources like Fannie Mae, NAR, Zelman. They're all saying the average of that's 12.46% appreciation this year.
It's amazing.
Okay.
So that's price, over the country. Country.
This is the country now.
Okay.
Interest rates. Oh, so what that means is that you buy a $350,000 house right now.
Yeah.
By the end of the year, it'll be $43,000 more.
It's crazy.
Okay. So that's what it means, guys. That's what it means. Buyers.
Yeah.
So think about that.
Yeah.
Sellers. I mean, should you wait? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it depends on your situation.
I hear both sides saying, should they wait? I have buyers saying, should I wait? Is it going to go down? I'm like, seriously? I got to tell you, the question on everybody's mind when I'm family gatherings, happy hours, whatever it is, everybody's like, everybody that's thinking about buying, they're going, well, should we wait till the market gets more adjusted? I'm like, guys, I got to tell you, I don't see this like going down.
It's got to be close.
It's got to be close, but I don't see it going, boom.
No,
I don't see next year all of a sudden $50,000 less on a $300,000 house.
Well, I think it's the prediction last time we did this was 7.7 next year.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they're 12.46 this year.
Yeah, so it's going to drop.
It's going to continue.
The curve is going to
be slower.
Yes, exactly.
Which is fine, right?
More sustainable.
Which it should be,
yeah.
Interest rates. Prediction. Third quarter this year, 3.1.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth quarter, 3.3.
Mm-hmm.
First quarter next year, 3.43. Second quarter next year, 3.58. I just had a client secure a 15-year loan at 1.99.
That's amazing.
And I'm seeing some 30 years coming through at under 3 yet.
We got a question here. We got Devin DeMore. If you know Devin DeMore.
Devin.
He's a good friend of mine. Devin is saying.
Sample who you hang with, man.
What's that? You're telling him, right? Yeah, don't hang out with Brad. Do you think much more strict lending requirements born out of the 2008 collapse are what was put what has put banks in a much more favorable position. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Thanks, Devin. That's a
great point. Great question, Devin. And I got to say, what's interesting about that, when it was happening, I didn't like it. You know, because it was hard for us, you know, but the reality is, yes, the banks are definitely more, they're more strict and they need to be because before, well, there was government input on that too. The government was telling them, hey, everybody should be able to afford a house or buy a house.
That's right.
And that doesn't, you can't always do that.
Right.
Just like not everybody can get a credit card. There's a reason.
It's like getting a participation trophy.
Exactly.
I mean, when I was a kid, we got trophies for winning.
Yeah, exactly.
Not for just showing up. Yeah. It was kind of like that.
Yeah,
it was.
I agree with you 100%. 100%. So thanks for the question, Devin. That's great.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. That was from Facebook. So going back into also, let's go through buyers and sellers are in a market right now and have their own unique situations, which we talked about. Let's talk about sellers first and what they can expect to see on offers coming in, and also not to get too, cocky or arrogant, but you just got to watch out. I mean, because
expectations.
Yeah. That's the best one. And I think it's our job to build that, but you know, so tell me, you know, the sellers right now, what are they going through?
Well, we talked about it earlier. I mean,
lots of offers.
If you don't have, you know, you have 12 showings the first day and your seller calls you and says, what's wrong? That's a unrealistic expectation.
Absolutely.
I mean, there was a time 3 or 4 or 5 months ago where it should have been 18 or 20.
I was going to say 12 showings would be 2 months.
Right. Exactly. But it's starting to come to normalcy, folks. This is not normal. Yeah. Brad and I have been around long, and most of the guys have been 30 plus or 25 plus years, know that this is abnormal.
It's very abnormal.
So it's normal to have like 7 or 8 showings the first week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Seven or eight showings the first hour is not normal.
It's not.
Okay. So just
I told you about, it was 12 showings, and then all of a sudden it ended up being over 40 showings.
Right.
So it just takes time, which is, it's just amazing. I mean, and then what I always say about that 47 showings is there's 46 people that didn't get a house. So just think about that. There's now 46 people in that same marketplace that are still looking.
Yep.
And we don't have near that kind of inventory coming up.
Nope.
Especially in that location in Wilson Schools.
Yep.
There's just no way. So, you know, when you win that house after 47 showings, man, you did something right. Your agent did something right.
Yeah.
You did some good stuff.
You did some good stuff.
Yeah. So let's talk about the buyers. We all have buyers right now, and it is a tough conversation.
Yeah. You and I are ones that would never, ever recommend no inspections.
Never.
We just wouldn't do that when we represent a buyer. Just would not do it.
But
that's the reality
today.
Yep.
So I tell them.
If you get any inspections, you're out. You're just going to get thrown in the trash.
I say, I don't recommend it.
Right.
But here's what people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If we didn't do that, we wouldn't be representing you correctly. I mean, you have to let them know what's going on in the marketplace.
Yeah. No inspections
is what's happening right now.
Yep.
Now, the thing is I think people are taking a better look at the house when they're walking through. My buyers are really looking at stuff.
Yeah. They're coming with parents or someone who knows things about construction.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's a good thing. What else are they doing?
I mean, they're paying the seller's transfer tax, which is 1% of the sale. Yeah.
$300,000 house, that's $3,000.
Yep. Some are paying.
And it doesn't matter what it appraises for. It's still going to pay 1% or whatever the purchase price.
Appraisal, they're paying the gap or a portion of the gap. If the gap, what that means is if the appraisal comes in too low, not the purchase price, the buyer's willing to pay X over the appraisal price.
Up to a certain amount. Up to the purchase price.
Yeah.
That's the one that's just amazing because you're saying that you're going to pay more than what the appraiser says it's worth.
That's
it's happening everywhere.
But here's what you're going to know about an appraisal. There's two things with an appraisal. It's an opinion.
It is an opinion. Absolutely.
An appraisal is an opinion. Here you go. Second thing is it's impossible for the appraisers to get in the comps.
Mm-hmm.
Their home, unless they go knocking on a door, say, can I go, can I go through your house? And people are going to say no. But, you know, that's the other thing. And also the comps aren't quite catching up with the 12.46% appreciation either.
Mm-mm.
So there's homes that are pending that are probably there.
Oh, yeah.
Probably good. Yep. But they just haven't closed. They can't use them yet.
Right.
So it's and not quite catching up.
And that's the thing that happens. Yeah, it definitely happens.
Yeah.
And the thing with the appraisal too, I always tell my sellers this and also my buyer clients is that, you know, they always say, what's the difference between you and the appraisal? Well, as agents, we look at what's sold, what's on the market, and what's ahead.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. An appraiser looks at what's sold.
Oh, that's it.
That's it. They look back.
Yep.
We look back, we look at now, and we look forward.
Right. Exactly.
Okay? And that's the difference. I always say between what, you know, the why we have a different opinion sometimes.
Right.
It's than somebody else. It's an opinion. So, and you could have two appraisers come up with two different amounts.
That's true.
It's not black and white.
No, it's not.
There's gray area there.
Totally gray.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
especially now.
Yeah, exactly. Is there anything else we want to talk about? Because we're coming up on 16 minutes here.
I think we're good. Is it a good idea for a buyer to wait right now? And,
I don't think so.
With the rising prices escalating, with low interest rates and people's incomes up, only needing a certain percentage of their income to afford a house, affordability still way up. But you saw that $350,000 house is going to cost you $46,000 more by the end of the year.
Yep.
It's going to cost you by waiting. So,
absolutely.
So the dilemma is, okay, if you are a buyer in the market and you're trying, that's not, you know, it's not your fault. Mm-hmm. You know, you're trying, but the people who are thinking about possibly diving in, it could get harder affordability wise as these prices go up. So you have
interest rates, if they start to go up, that changes. The other thing is if you're a buyer moving up in the market to a bigger, more expensive house, it's the old thing too. If the market's going up by, you know, 12% or whatever it is. Okay. Remember, what you're going to buy is going to go up by 12% too.
So you think
you might be making more money by waiting and selling when your house is worth more, but the house you're going to is going to be worth more too.
Especially if you buy
percentage
up.
If you're buying up, percentage wise, you're going to end up even spending more than that.
Yeah, exactly.
So it all comes down to don't try to time the market.
Don't time it.
If you have a need to buy or a need to go to where you want to go, to the next house, to a new location, whatever it is, unless it's an investment property.
Right.
But if it's your personal residence, do it when it's right for you.
Yeah.
Do it when it makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when the moment's right or you see the right house, then go for it. Yeah. And don't wait around.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what
totally
I
agree. Brad's a great realtor, man.
I'll tell you what. You're really good.
No, I think you are.
We're going to spend the next 5 minutes telling each other how good we are.
And he's got a voice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And well, I got a microphone, but you do too. So you're good. Oh, my goodness. Too much fun. Thanks a lot for coming in, Pete.
Thank
this
you,
was
Brad.
A lot of fun.
Yep.
I'll tell you, we learned so much on this show. I'll tell you. It's amazing. So tune in next time when we have Pete on here. If we're going to be on here. What's the day that we come in, Pete? What day
is it? First Thursday of the month.
First Thursday of the month, usually, except for today, obviously. People are like, what day is it? No, so it's usually first Thursday of the month, but we're changing things up in the summer. So we'll be talking to you real soon.